So I just want to keep the scripture part of this. So as we continue our greatest hits to the book of Ephesians, I want to just turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and following. And so we're getting towards the end of the book. And next Sunday we'll talk about submitting ourselves one to another. And then the following Sunday will be the last lesson out of Ephesians about putting on the full armor of God. So I encourage you, that if you can, then come and be blessed by that. Okay. Let's read verse 15 following. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to the God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, I want to focus mostly on this idea of making the most of every opportunity. Now, we're getting ready to start a new school year, and that's always a good time to do a little reminder of we need to make the most of this upcoming school year. I know folks think I'm in school, it's going to last forever and ever, and it can feel like it. But the fact is, you're in high school, those 4 years go by quickly. One day you're at high school listening to music on the radio, this hot new country hit song. And then next thing you know, you're on Amazon Prime clicking 90s music. It has its own decade now. When you go to school, I went back in the 1900s. Yeah. I remember one time at Central, a student had on some headphones doing some schoolwork, but he was listening to music and I could hear it. And I said, "That is Travis Tritt. It's a great day to be alive." I said, "I remember that from 2002. And he said, "Oh yeah, Mr. Wong." I said, "I love that old country music." And I thought I listened to old country music back when I was a kid, listening to Johnny Cash, but now I know why I did my parents, and I said it was old, right? It's coming both ways. Okay. So what does it mean to make the most of every opportunity? Okay. It means, make the most of your time. Now, time, we only get so much of it. All of us today, God willing, have 24 hours. Okay? And each of those hours, 60 minutes and 60 seconds. And we have to spend those. Now, we can't really save time like we can money. It's not like you can save time and then on your deathbed say, "Wait a minute, I got an extra 10 minutes I saved up." No, you got to spend it. And so how do we do that? And so there's a few moments to how Jesus lived his life. He knew he didn't have long to live. He had a lot to accomplish. We read in the Gospels how Jesus would get up early in the morning. And I know that's hard for a lot of us. I tell folks all the time, I don't mind being at Central, and my heart's hard just getting there in the morning. If I just get up, I'm in good shape. But he would get up, not jump in the car, not jump in the shower, but he got up early and he would pray. You may recall one time they were looking for him, like, "Where are you? Folks been looking for him." He was out there praying. And my experience has been, if I start my day off in prayer, it goes a whole lot smoother than those days I don't start off in prayer. It does something about when you pray, it puts your heart and mind at peace, and you go in and you just have a different attitude about stuff. I've noticed myself, if I read a psalm and say a little prayer, the day goes by easier. It doesn't take very long, but it makes a big difference getting to 3:15 when I do that. Okay. And then, of course, Jesus knows he spent time with his family. Now, of course, that amount of time you spend with your family is going to fluctuate as time goes by. Now, of course, growing up with Mary and Joseph, his parents, his siblings, and we know later on in life, he and siblings didn't always kind of get along very well. They didn't really like Jesus. They thought he was some kind of con artist. And you may recall at the wedding at Cana, we turned water into wine. He and his mom were there at the wedding, and mom's like, "You need to talk to my son Jesus. He'll fix this wine situation." And he turned the water into wine. Yeah. But it's important we spend time with our family, and that's going to fluctuate. My little sister, Josiah came along last year, and she's pretty much been with him all the time. And then this past week, she sent him off for 4 days with the grandparents, and they took him to Dollywood, had a good old time. And that was good, because she was the stage now where, he can live without me for a few days. And not only that, he got to spend time with his grandparents, and that was good. And there will be time seasons to where, when you're very young, you spend all the time with your parents, and you get a little bigger, not so much. But we need to spend time with our family. Make the effort to sit down at least every once in a while and have dinner together, or lunch, what may be, okay? And it doesn't matter your parents in their 30s, 40s, 50s, or how old they are, Even as the deal of just picking up the phone and calling your mom and dad and checking them. And of course, as our parents, grandparents get a little bit older, we might spend more time with them. So we can't really say you got to spend X amount of time because that's going to fluctuate as time goes by. And then our friends. Did Jesus have any friends? Well, Gospel of John tells us, "Now Jesus loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus." Those were three of his buddies in the town of Bethany, located just outside Jerusalem. And you may recall when Luke's gospel tells how he was there talking and teaching, and Mary was there, and Martha was in the kitchen, rattling the pots and pans, and got a little aggravated and said, "Jesus, would you tell my sister to get busy and help in the kitchen?" And then Jesus said, "No, Martha, Martha, Martha." Kind of like on the Brady Bunch, right? "Marcia, Marcia, Marcia." Just like, no, don't worry about the pots and pans. Them in the kitchen sink. They'll be fine. You come here and join us. Okay? And you really see the love and respect they have for Jesus and vice versa, at the funeral home when Lazarus died. And here comes Jesus walking through the visitor line. And, they're very upset with Jesus. Jesus, I thought you were our friend, and we sent you a message. Lazarus was sick and dying, and you said, "Don't worry about it. Something about the glory of the Lord be revealed." And we thought, you would come here and lay hands on them, or at very least speak a word. We've heard these stories about you healing folks from a distance, and then he died, and we buried him already, and now you show up, And Jesus, and what he does as a friend, he comforts them, and he reminds Martha, "Your brother will rise again." Talking about the resurrection morning. And then when Mary's seen her crying, he breaks down and he weeps as well. And so our friends are important. And when we say friends, I'm not talking about Facebook friends, right? I got like 1,000 Facebook friends. I don't know who half of them are, right? I don't know who they are. They just befriend me, right? I haven't turned anybody down yet. I have a few connections. But I'm talking about the friends that when your car breaks down, you can pick up the phone and say, "I need you to come by and help jumpstart my car," Or if the roof falls in, or the ceiling falls in, perhaps, and really, you can say, "I need a place to stay at." I thought that went in for free. Who are your friends, Who are the folks you can depend on? You need to spend time with them, and then when they need help from you, you need to be doing your part and helping them out. Then there's work. Now, I know some of you are blessed. You're in a retiree zone. So this doesn't really apply to you. But some of us, we still got to go to work. And work kind of fluctuates as well. This past summer, I didn't do a whole lot of work after I got the yearbook turned in. Now, in the past couple of days, I've been in some long days, okay? We're getting started up. And I think about like a farmer, for example. Springtime, planting up the crops, fall harvesting, long days, long hours. Wintertime comes, he can take a little bit easier, take some rest. Folks who are in the tax business, you get to them around March and April and they're stressed out. It's getting towards tax time, and they're stressed. Teachers, talk to them in August and May and they're stressed. starting golf and finishing. The in-between is okay. Those two are two rough months. Now, we can get through May, man. I thought, month of May, that's like May. I call it May Madness. You know? But the point is, though, no, we should, you know, work, have time to work. And when we go to work, we do our work. That's a wild concept these days. And how many of us have not been in a, maybe like a fast food restaurant, back when you could go in that fast food restaurant, and you go in and you got four or five employees in the back just kind of milling around and find one to kind of like, you going to order something? Well, no, I just came in this restaurant, stood here for a reason. No, maybe I'll take my order and get some cooking. Or one of my favorites was the old Kmart's where you can never find a cashier to check out. It's like, what's going on with this? No. And so when we're at work, we should be at work. No. No. God had work for a reason. He knows it's good for us. Okay. And then I think about, no, worship. No. All right. You guys are doing that this morning. No. And isn't it interesting how Luke's gospel says, as was his custom, Jesus went to the synagogue that day and spoke to the people? No, in other words, when it was synagogue day, you didn't go down to the lake and find Jesus on the boat or anything like that. He was in the synagogue. Now, he might went to the lake afterwards and did some preaching and teaching and hang out with his friends. But that morning, he was in the Lord's house teaching and preaching. Yeah. And worship is important. And then I think about rest and relaxation. And may recall one time Jesus told his disciples, so come to me for a while and rest. Now, I know some folks, they had this attitude of, I got to work 7 days a week, 10 hours a week, and burn that candle on both ends. Okay. Well, we got two candles here, but we only burn one end because a candle can only burn so much, right? You will burn yourself out, and you are useless. You will end up in the hospital. And I think the Lord knew what he was doing. He says, 6 days thou shalt labor, but on the seventh thou shalt rest. In other words, there needs to be a day where you physically take it easy. Your body cannot go 7 days a week all the time. You will wear yourself out, okay? You have to have rest, you know? And I think the Lord meant for us to rest, to relax. And there's nothing wrong about going and watching a good movie or a concert or going to the lake, go hiking, whatever it is, that's relaxing. You know, we should do that. Yeah. And think about fitness and health. Now, Jesus really didn't have that problem. He walked everywhere except the one time he rode the donkey. No. You think about our bodies, though. We need to make sure that we're taking time to exercise and be healthy. No. I think about folks, they go to the office, they sit down all day at the laptop. Then they go home, sit down, and watch 5 hours of TV. Then you go to the doctor, and doctor, why is my blood pressure so high? Well, you went to work, that stressed you out. Then you went home, watched all this news for 5 hours, and that stressed you out some more, you know. Now, we need to make sure that we're actually are being healthy. And a lot of times, fitness, we need to be doing things, I think, that fitness and rest relaxation actually kind of go together. Okay, isn't it interesting how your blood pressure can go down by just walking around? You come in, you feel better. And so we need to make sure we're making the most of our opportunities here. And so how's that look for all of us? It's going to be a little different. You know, for my little high school buddies, you're going to have opportunities to be in sports and in clubs, maybe after school a job. You know, you need things to say, how am I going to spend my time? And make sure I keep all these things in balance, okay? Now, for those of us who got our jobs, you know, we have volunteer opportunities we can look at. You know, we got our family commitments. You know, got to make sure I got to walk the dog. That falls underneath health. I don't know about the resting part when you're walking two dogs at the same time, right? You know, but how's that look? And for all of us, it's going to look a little bit different. If you're a retiree, it looks a whole lot different. You're like, I go fishing, check on my grandkids, and life is good, right? And you deserve that. And then he says, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. You know, we get in trouble when we act without thinking. When we do stuff on impulse. And then sometimes in high school, like, what did you do that for? I don't know. I just did it. I'm like, well, that's the wrong answer. Before you do something, stop and think. Yeah. It says, understand what the Lord wants you to do. That might mean you might need to spend a little time in prayer first before you do something. You know, Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? Okay? What is your will? And I think that's why Jesus prayed every morning. That even though he was the Son of God, every morning he prayed so he and the Heavenly Father would be on the same page. And he didn't make troubles go away, but he gave him a peace and confidence and wisdom about to handle those situations when trouble did come. And then verse 18 says, don't be drunk with wine because it will ruin your life. Okay. And this goes more towards my high school buddies, but also some of us grown-ups, is we need to be careful about what we take in. You know, high school has all sorts of temptations, and there are things tempting you now we didn't have back in 2000. You know, in 2000, we didn't have the e-vapes. If you told me about the e-vape in 2000, I'm like, what's that? It's not science fiction, you know. And I remember one time, about 2 years ago, I was doing a bus duty and outside, and I was watching cars go by, and then I saw this big old puff of white smoke in the air. And I turned once and I said, did you see that? She said, yes, I did. And so there was the principal sitting around. I said, I think those bunch out there are vaping. And sure enough, they had a big old roundup. And that's back when you could vape the on school property. The rules have changed a little bit since then. And I thought, what in the world would you vaping bus duty out in the parking lot in front of the school? You could walk outside the gates and been fine. Never go to the parking lot somewhere. And just, and it just blew me away. And then I mean, also a few years ago, I had a senior. He got in some trouble and was gone for most of the year and came back. Last day for seniors at Central High School. And I was in the library during lunch, and I was at a computer helping this young lady on some assignment. And I heard some curse words, and I turned to say something and saw this puff of smoke in the air. And I was like, really? And I was walking, I said, let me see it. I said, come with me. And got in the office, turned in, and I said, what were you thinking? You are a senior, and this was your last day in the building. I said, you at least could go into the barn and done that. I thought, what was your problem, you know? Got back inside, his little buddy, he was a junior, said, I think it's stupid, Mr. Walton, what you did. I said, it is stupid. I said, how stupid can you be to vape two chairs down from the library in the library on the last day as a senior, right? I said, and anybody feels sorry for him is stupid too. And he went, that's kind of shut him down. So let's be sure we don't go around filling ourselves up, guys, whatever is out there on the market, okay? You know. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. That's what we want inside of us. And then Paul says, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves. Okay. Now, and we did that a little while ago. You know, we got our psalms, hymns, spirituals, and of course the psalms. We did that a few moments ago with Psalms 93. You know, and I think about how growing up in churches, I feel like there's different kind of songs we sing. Like you got the hymns, they're very theologically correct, you know, good stuff. They just kind of sometimes lack singability. A few of them do, right? Just kind of hard to sing, you know. And then you got our spirituals and gospel songs, you know, what I call the Gaither songs, right? The ones you can attack your foot along and sing along to, you know. And then also got our modern day worship songs, you know. And the point is, it really doesn't matter what songs you're singing as long as they're uplifting you and are truthful to what the Bible says, okay? So this person likes a hymn, that's fine. If you'd rather have a spiritual, that's fine. You know, this person wants to sing Whispering Hope, but you prefer Amazing Grace, that's okay. Well, see, I thought I was going to do this. That's why I picked the songs I knew. So I did the same thing. I was like, I don't know that song. We ain't singing that. Have you picked out the song for the very end of the service? Yeah. Okay, which one are you going to sing?
I mean, I know I need to.
Oh, okay, you know that one? Okay. All right. I picked that one just because it tied into the sermon, you know, about time. And okay. You know. You know, that's okay though. You know, and we all have hymns and songs that mean a lot to us. You know, and think about your own life. Is there not a hymn, a spiritual, a gospel song that means a lot to you? That you might sing when you're happy or when you're sad? And the sad part is, there's some folks that couldn't sing the words Amazing Grace. They haven't done it enough. But think how powerful the words are, or how great thou art. You know? Think some of these songs we have that are so powerful. And it's not strange, even non-believers will sing Amazing Grace because it means a lot to them. They don't know what the song's about. But we're going to sing this at this funeral now, because they have enough sense to know this is something special. That is what should be on the inside of us, singing psalms and hymns and spirituals among ourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts. Now, see, not all of us are talented enough to get here and play the piano, okay? No. Some of us, more or less, we played the CD player, right? Or the MP3 or Amazon Prime, you know? We push a button. But you think about it, back then, they didn't have electronics. And not everyone had a musical instrument back then. He said, make music to the Lord in your heart. You know, there's a song called There Is Inside My Heart, a melody. You know, that, you know, it's like we look like a spiritual x-ray. There's a song in there, okay? Making music to the Lord in your hearts. Now, so that means even we can't sing a lick. I know you guys probably seen the episode of Andy Griffin where Deputy Barney Five joined the choir. Remember that? And he's like, don't do that. You know? And maybe we sing like that. But, you know, we make a joyful noise. And it really is a noise when we make it. You know, but that should be in our hearts. You know, making music to the Lord in our hearts. And then finally he says, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks for everything. No, and I'm afraid we take a lot of things for granted. Now, we got a rude awakening last year, you couldn't go to church, you couldn't walk in Walmart, you couldn't find toilet paper. All this stuff we took for granted and went out the window. And now, you know, this year, we're getting school started and it's going to be halfway normal. I was like, oh, thank you, Lord, that we can come to school and have kids in the seats, you know. Well, it was that way for years and years and years, but we just took that for granted. You know, the ability to walk through these doors and have a seat, we need to be thankful for that. You know, going out and having your job, we need to be grateful for that. You know, there are folks right now unemployed, you know, looking for a career, can't find one. You know, we need to be grateful we have a job, that we have a retirement. You know, we need to be grateful that we have all these kids in this building and these teenagers. I have spoken in several churches, you know, and sometimes, you know, there'll be a little baby in there crying, carrying on, and they always get a little embarrassed, and I always say from the pulpit, I said, don't worry about that little baby. I got a microphone. We're fine. Because here's the deal. I'd rather be in a church that has the baby crying and playing around with little toy dinosaurs and all that good stuff than the one where it's like a funeral home and, you know, and there's no kids. God, then I'm wondering, who's going to take this church over in a couple years? That silence can be very scary. Oh, everybody can hear me just fine. But that's a problem, though. Who's going to be the next generation coming up? No. So today on this kind of impromptu Youth Sunday, as we go back to church, I want to encourage all you older folks, you need to be grateful for these young folks. This is your future church up here. And don't take that for granted. There's a lot of churches out there, big and small, where you look around, they don't have young folks. They're just not there. And I think part of this, sometimes those churches, inadvertently, they don't let the young folks do anything. Don't let them participate in worship. And, you know, and then they pay a price for it. And then they look at one day like, man, it's just us and our buddies. We're getting old. You know, and it's hard to change that. So be sure you know you're grateful for our little buddies over here and our acolytes and in our high school crowd, you know. You think about where they could have been this morning. They could have been down at Wasp Bar Dam. They could have been in the Hawassa River, been with their buddies. They could have been at home watching Baby Yoda, right? So many things you can do on Sunday morning, and they came here to worship. And so I'm going to close that out with this idea of, give thanks to everything. And make sure that we're making the most of every opportunity. So today, tomorrow, next day, when you get up every morning, they'll be like, Lord, help me today. Make sure that 24 hours, Lord, I only got 24, and they're all a gift from you. Help me to live my days wisely and my time to where I'm getting my bang for my buck. And that everything I'm doing has a purpose to it. Whether I'm resting or working or praying with my family, my friends, at school, at work, or at a football game, whatever I'm doing, Lord, just help me guide my steps. Make sure I'm living up to every opportunity. Thanks be to God. Amen.